She has a lot of talent, but God sometimes humbles us in certain ways, and God has humbled me many times, and you think you got something down, and God just says, well, and brings us back to reality, and God is just he's just amazing, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Hopefully that you had a good Thanksgiving, and I just want to jump right into this message, and I'll have some announcements toward the end, at the end of service. So if you have your Bibles, turn over to John chapter 6. I want to share with you that many people are trying to find a peace, a life of happiness, and everything but Jesus Christ. And people are trying to figure it out and find it, but what they find out, it comes to a dead end. It comes up short, but people will refuse, and they'll continue to try to do it their way. And the devil is leading people astray. The whole world astray. It says in the Book of Revelations in chapter 12 that the devil leads the whole world astray if he can. Okay. Jesus is beginning to talk to his disciples and to a crowd. And I want you to know in the beginning there were a lot of disciples. It just weren't the 12. There was a lot of people who were trying to follow Jesus and figure out who he was and listen to what he had to say. And I want to pick up a couple of things here today because I want to share with you about the gospel. Some of us have received the gospel. Some of us have received this gift of Jesus Christ, and we've gotten kind of stagnant in our walk. And some of us have come to that place where we don't have that joy like we used to. Some of us have come to a place where we've kind of stepped away from it. And then there's some of us who hear it and we still refuse to receive it. And I want to tell you that there is only one way to heaven. There's only one way to get through your problems. There's only one way to work it out, and it's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. Amen. Okay, so we're going to work through this a little bit, but Jesus is beginning to talk. If you have an opportunity, read the whole chapter 6. There's going to be things in there we're not going to be able to cover today, but I'm going to cover some of the basics of it. So I want to share with you that, let's pick it up in chapter 6 here. I'm going to skip a couple of verses, but I do want you to see a few here. In verse 28, and then they asked him, what must we do to do the works God requires? In verse 29, it says, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. In verse 43, it says, stop grumbling among yourselves. Jesus answered, no one comes to me unless the Father who has sent me draws him. And down to 47, I tell you the truth, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And then we jump over here into verse 60. On hearing all of this, and much more than what I could go through, he says, on hearing it, many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And aware of what his disciples were grumbling about, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? And verse 64 says, yet there are some of you who do not believe. So we have a part in here. It's all about the gospel. It's all about the salvation, that Jesus was the one to come. And many people have a hard time getting it, even though they were walking with him. They were having a hard time, and it was offensive to them. I want to share with you that the gospel, when you share it, and everyone does not accept it. Don't get mad about it. Because you don't get mad about it. Don't get upset about it. It does become hurtful at times when you share, and they don't receive it. But that should also make us spend more time in prayer praying for that person or those people or that family. But I want to tell you that the gospel is not always accepted. People refuse to receive the gospel. And one of the reasons is it calls us a sinner. The Bible calls us a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. For we are all sinners. People don't like that, but we are all sinners. The difference between a non-Christian and a Christian is that we're both sinners, but one's just has received the gift of salvation, saved by grace, received it. The other has refused it. But we need to come to this point here that we are all sinners. But a lot of people do not want to hear that because, especially in this culture today, we don't like, and it's not name calling, it's just scriptural. We're a sinner. I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I'm a sinner who's accepted the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. But I am a sinner. I am a sinner. But today's culture doesn't like that. It didn't like that in the past. But it definitely doesn't like it today, because we live in a culture today that we are easily offended. We're easily offended by words. We live in a culture that many believe that it's a culture of entitlement. I can't change that. You can't change that, but I can make sure I'm not doing that. But if it's a culture of entitlement, there are people who say, I'm going to go to heaven anyway because I'm a good person. And basically what they're saying is, I deserve it. So many people cannot handle that. They cannot handle being called a sinner. They cannot handle hearing that there are only certain people that are going to go to heaven, and there are many others that will go through the wide gate that leads to destruction, a gnashing of teeth at places, well, we call it hell. It becomes offensive to the person who lives with entitlement or I'm easily offended. And there is much of that going on in our culture today. Satan is really pulling the ground, isn't he, in the United States? He's really working it here. He is really working it here. Others do not receive the gospel because they don't see it with their own eyes, because they believe in their own self more than they would anything else that's out there. There's a self-reliance. And they will not receive the gospel because they have to see it to believe it. But there were other people back in the day that saw the mighty works of God as they came out of Egypt, yet they would not believe God. They would not believe the man that God had chosen, even though a cloud would come down and descend and speak to the mighty man of Moses, who was a sinner, but took advantage and received what God had called him to do. And God called them stiff-necked people. Many people do not receive the gospel because there is a sacrifice. Jesus wants our heart, mind, body, and soul. You say, that's a lot. Not a lot for what you're getting. Not a lot for what he has given to us. But people will refuse the gospel, but yet the gospel is the only way. And many people are trying to find a new way, an alternate way, or it's one way to Christ is in a different, in many different paths. There is a way to heaven. There is a way to God in many different paths. No, there's only one. It is through Jesus Christ, his one and only Son. Amen. If you've not received him today, I'm praying that God is working on your heart right now, because your way is not working. Your way is not working. And we as Christians who are sinners but saved by grace, a lot of times when we go back to the flesh, we find out that doesn't work, because our way doesn't work. There's only one way that works, that is following the trail of Jesus Christ. All right, so we find out that number one, in this group of people, there are many who could not believe it. And he says, who can't accept it? And he says, does this offend you? It is offensive to some people, because what happens is conviction comes upon them, and especially when the Holy Spirit is beginning to prod them and to prick their heart to open up them, and God begins to draw them, people push away. Okay? And yet Jesus knew there were some, as he said, some of you, you do not believe. But there's a second part to this story as we move on. In verse 66, let me back up for a moment. This wasn't in my notes or in my plans, but I'm going to read this anyway. In verse 65, he says, I went on to say, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him. He says the same thing back up there in verse 43. Stop grumbling among you. Jesus said, answered, no one can come to me unless the Father who has who has sent me draws him. It isn't that I am not a five-point Calvinist, if you know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. I am not a five-point Calvinist. I truly believe that God put the tree in the garden for man to have a choice. That's me, okay? We can talk theologically, all that. I like to talk to that until somebody gets angry, then I'm done. Because I don't want to fight over God's word. I'll wrestle through God's word. I'll discuss God's word, but I will not argue over God's word. When that happens, the devil has got a foothold. Many of you have been there, and I've been there one or two times, and I will not go there again because that's not what God wants. But I will tell you this. There are some people that say, when at the end of my life, when I get done living my way and doing my things my way, then I'll come to God. The scripture says you cannot come to God when you want to. God puts Christians inside of your life. He puts believers inside of your life, and they move around as God pleases, as moves them, and they speak of things, and God opens up the eyes of the non-believer to see things that are different in the Christian world and who Jesus is than when they weren't. And so what happens is God begins to touch hearts, and he begins to draw them. But many people, I believe, keep pushing back God. But you can't pick and choose when you want to get saved. I want you to know, you cannot pick and choose when you want to get saved. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and convict your heart as a non-believer. Open up your eyes and your ears to hear the things that are the truth. But if you keep pushing it away, you cannot pick that time when God's going to come. So I'm going to tell you, we're going to have a moment at the end of this service. If you are not saved, you don't have that salvation, you don't have that experience or an opportunity. But there's also going to be some opportunity for some of you others. But I'll also say, I beg of you not to think that you have the power of God to pick and choose when you can receive Jesus Christ. Jesus says, no one can come to him unless the Father draws him. Amen? That wasn't in my notes, but we're saying it, okay? All right. Number one, not only do people are not going to accept the gospel, there are many who refuse it for the things we just talked about, but there's also a second piece in this story. This is a very difficult chapter. It's a very difficult chapter because it's not like theologically difficult, but it's difficult because it deals with a lot of people. And a lot of people, they just walked away from Jesus at this time. When the ministry got tough, as the closer Jesus got to the cross, the less people stuck with him. Now, it doesn't mean God forgot about those people, so don't push on those people. I believe some of those people came to Christ later. Okay, God's always doing more than what your pastor thinks. God's always doing more than what you think. He's always doing more than what the Southern Baptist Convention thinks. Because no one has the mind of God. But also, no one has the heart of God. And God has a big heart. He has a big heart. Thank God you're not the judge of people. Thank God I'm not the judge of people. Thank God it's God, right? He's a merciful, loving God, but he's also a God of judgment, of justice. But number two, Jesus begins, he comes here from this point in 66. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. You know, as a church, as a pastor, sometimes I see people leave and come, leave. And my piece is always this. I always pray for those who have left. I don't get angry, but I pray for them. But I will tell you this, my heart is always hurting for those who have deserted. My thing is always this. I pray, Lord, send them to a church, whether it's a gospel preaching church, Bible preaching, and Bible teaching. If it's not this one, it's okay. But bring those who need to be here. But I'm always praying for them. But at this time, many of his disciples began to fall away. It's always taught in the churches, and it's always taught, and I'm not going to say just Baptist churches. I'm going to say all the denominations, because I've got friends all across this city, and especially because of the ministries we do, I get to cross with different denominations. So I like that. But it's always taught in all the denominations, when you begin to lose numbers, you're doing something wrong. As a pastor, you're doing something wrong. But when I see scripture, I think of Gideon. It was the less was the more. No, I'm just, the less was the more. I see this story here, the less was the more. God's not impressed by numbers, but impressed by the hearts of people. Jesus asked a question. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Jesus saw the crowd leaving, but he spoke to the 12. You do not want to leave too, do you? I want to tell you that with the gospel, I want to tell you even with those people who believe, there will be people who will turn away. For different reasons and different situations, but I'm going to cover a few. It is very hard to continue to come to church on a regular basis and not feel the conviction when the worship is right. When I mean by it's right, I'm not talking about I'm just saying when the Spirit is moving through the worship, the Spirit is moving through the Word, and the Word is being taught and being taught, preached and taught correctly. You're hearing the power of the Lord. The Lord speaking through those individuals. And it's very hard to live a sinful life at that time and expect the blessing and feel like you're going to get the blessings of God. But there are people today who feel that they can because they're entitled to it. You see, we talk about the love and the grace of God, and it's awesome, it is, but there's also a part of Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, God disciplines those whom He loves. But there is a word that we don't talk about much anymore, and that word is called backsliding. Have you all heard that word? I used to hear that in preaching all the time back in the early 80s, late 70s. Backsliding, you're backsliding. Then I also heard of it in a harder way. You're a backslider. A backslider, backsliding, is a person who draws himself, who fades away from the things of God and God Himself. In their own mind, they may think they're good. This is the hole in the net for the Southern Baptists back in the day. This was the hole in the net. Not the hole in Scriptures, but the hole in the net. Once you're saved, you're always saved. I believe in eternal security. I do. But once you're saved, always saved was used in the wrong way and in the wrong term, believing that you can be saved and go out and live the way you want. But Paul says, well, we're not going that direction too much, but Paul says you don't do that. That's not a license to go out and sin. So here it is, we find out here that many people are drawing away because they're backsliding. Okay? So believers, we backslide. We turn away from the church. We turn away from Christian living. Next thing you know, we're cutting off everything that we once loved, and we're chasing something that, when you chase the world, I'll tell you what, it will not love you back. How many have experienced that? It will not love you back. It will not help you through your hurts and your pains. It will not heal you. It will not help you. Although the world is trying to figure out how to do it. And the church has stopped and almost made these country club things going on. And the church is supposed to be about healing people and helping people. And not with everything, not giving entitlements, but helping people, teaching the Word of God, worshiping. The church is a place where we go and we're supposed to be spiritually fed. We're supposed to get stronger. But people draw away from the church. And I'll tell you, there was a moment in my life I was backsliding. Then I have to be honest, when I look in the mirror, that would make me a backslider. For 3 years I did that. Now, did I have a connection with God? I prayed at times when I was in trouble and I had an issue. I would pray and I would come back and I would do that. But I knew when I prayed, there was very, very little power. You know what? Every time I prayed, guess what? I was feeling, every time I prayed as a backslider, I felt the disconnect between me and God. That our relationship was not as it should be. You know how you get it right? You get it right by repenting. And God will humble you at that moment when you do that. Not everyone will believe. And some people will turn away. People will come into a church. And they're seeking what they call now, as they kind of call it, seekers. People who are looking to hear the story of Jesus. But when they get to churches where they talk about heaven, that's great. When we talk about hell, that turns them off, and they go right out the door. This isn't just here. That's in a lot of. I want to tell you that there is a lot of good churches in America. There's some good churches in Huntington. There's a lot of good preachers in Huntington, in America. There's a lot of Christians out there. But I will tell you, there are some pastors and churches and some teachers that are not teaching the Word of God. That they will not do the whole truth. They will not share the parts. They'll talk about heaven, but they won't talk about hell. They'll talk about the blessings, but they won't talk about the discipline. Listen, the Bible is a whole package from Genesis to Revelation. And we must talk about as much as we possibly can. And there are things that we struggle with, and we should wrestle with them, pray about it, study, continue, and work it out. And you know what? Sometimes we always feel as we are, we think we're so intellectual that we need to have an answer for every question. It's okay not to have an answer. And that just causes me to continue to work and to serve and to dig a little deeper. So I want to remind you that some people are in the habit in falling away. Okay? Hebrews chapter 10, 12 tells us, do not forsake the assembling of together. As far, some are in the habit of. They've just drifted away. Okay? We're not to fall away from our meetings in the church. We're not to fall away from praying at our dinner table. We're not to fall away from reading our word daily. We're not to fall away from the things of God. But some of us have experienced that backsliding moment in our life. And you will know if you've experienced it, it was not the best time of your life. Amen? All right. But I'll also tell you this. And number three, as it continues to go on, he says, you do not want to leave me too, do you? And Jesus asked the 12. And then Simon Peter, in 68, Simon Peter answered him. He says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God. Well, praise the Lord, there are going to be some people like myself and like you that have come to know Christ and have received the gospel. And I am a recipient of the blessings from the Creator of the universe. I am on His lips from time to time. His angels move and do the work that He wants them to work, and they are accountable to Him, but one day will be accountable to us for the work that they're doing. And they begin to do things that God wants them to do for us. So when we step into the family of God, you get all the benefits of being a family member. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Not much talked about, but I'll tell you what, that is one of the most important books of all. It's not here, because it don't belong here. It is with God. It is His family. It is the list of His children. And today, I am very proud to say that I am a child of the living God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I will live my life, and I pray you will live your life according to the Word of God. And when I fail Him, His Spirit will work in me and convict my heart. Not that I've failed in the way of what we sometimes think failing is. But when we don't do what God's called us to do, or we do what we're not supposed to do, the Holy Spirit will convict our hearts. And when He convicts our hearts, it's a chastisement for us. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. That's not where you're supposed to be at. Your mind keeps going in the wrong directions. Why are you home when you need to be with the rest of the family, with me, at church? And God is watching. God has a family. And being a part of the family of God means we follow in God in His ways, that we become baptized, being buried in the likeness of His death, raised in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing that in the future, that once we die, we're all not going to stay down, but we're going to rise. I like that. And then that I am offered the opportunity, which makes no sense to me, that I can do communion. There have been moments when I've done communion that it slipped by me and I missed really what communion was about. How many of you all done that? There's been moments in my life where I have, when the communion table was there and communion was offered, there was moments early in my life where I stepped away from it because I knew I wasn't right with God. I had to examine myself as Scripture says. If you all been there, you'd examine yourself, you said, you know what? I don't feel like I should take it. What was God, what is that for? For us to work ourselves out, our hearts out with God. A moment of working it out, a time of Jacob and wrestling, a time of trying to figure that out. So I need to grow up in my walk with Jesus and follow in His footsteps. I don't need the entitlement that the world offers. Because it ain't nothing compared to what God's giving to us. And I don't need to be, I don't need to always, I do not, I don't need to feel like I'm, everything is offensive to me. This morning, me and Carla were driving, as we were driving to church this morning, we were just talking just a little bit, and I was like, man, and it just got to like, how evil the world is today. How evil it is just from the things you hear on the news, and it can become very depressing with what's going on in the world. And darkness seems to be stepping up. I don't know if you notice it, but it really means to be stepping up. And it's little pokes here, little pokes there. I don't know if it bothers you when Christians overseas get murdered or get their heads cut off, or if it bothers you when they throw pastors in a hole and they set their family on fire. They're doing that in Africa right now, just to let you know. Because we kind of are a very spoiled country. But I know this. It wouldn't be happening to people who were not following the gospel. All that persecution is coming upon those who are trying to figure it out and follow this man named Jesus. Because everything else outside of Jesus is the way of the world. It's what Satan uses to take people astray. So what is this whole gospel about? It comes back to that basic place. I'm a sinner. John chapter 8 says this. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said this. Now Jesus is speaking to the Jews who had believed him. In verses 31 and 32, he says this. If you hold on to my teaching, you are really my disciples. But I like this part. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. The world has everyone in bondage. Sin has everyone in bondage. Everyone is chained and balled up and ready. And what we want to call it, biblically, we just call it, we're lost. We're doomed. But there was one who came, and that name, and that one is Jesus Christ. And upon that cross, he gave his life for you and I. So it comes down to this basic piece here. That you be set free. And today I want to tell you that I am a free man. I am not under the bondage by you and I, who are believers. Our body is just a building that we live in. It will not always be there. Matter of fact, as you get older, it begins to fall apart. And you can't fix it if you wanted to. But inside, we should be growing in our spiritual life. Amen? Even though we're getting older, we should be, as our body starts falling apart inside of us, we should be getting more healthier spiritually. We should not be getting all beat down spiritually. We should be the most excited people on the face of the earth. This is what I know through Scripture. And I'm going to close with this. The closer you get to Jesus, sometimes the less people you will see. The closer you get to doing the things that God's called you to do, the more the adversary will continue and will work harder at trying to defeat you and discourage you. I want to tell you that there is a mystery in this community that I'm still trying to figure out. And there are a couple of pastors that have called me, and we're trying to figure this out. But we continue to pray through it quite often. And it comes up quite often in our conversations. And with these couple of pastors that I've talked to, this is the same thing. How in a community, in this area, in this community, that there are so many people that but we've knocked on doors, we've shared the gospel, we've done all kinds of things, and many of them will not make it to the church. This is one thing that I've kind of come to figure out a little bit of it. The Bible talks about being blinded with your eyes, having eyes but not seeing and ears but not hearing. And we always believe that that's spiritual. I had talked to a young man just down the street a couple of months ago. And I asked him if he attended church or whatever, and I just began to try to get to meet this guy and introduce myself. We were standing like right over there on this, across the street. And I said, the church is right there. He said, I lived down here the whole time. I never even knew this church existed. I never paid attention. You see, I believe that Satan can not only just blind your eyes spiritually, but he can blind your eyes physically. Because we are so zeroed in on what we're going to do. But also know this, young people, and it's becoming adults, you got your hand on that phone all the time, you're missing what's going on around you. What has made to be good, Satan will turn to be bad. But my heart is this today. Too many people are turning away from God. Too many people are not accepting Jesus Christ. Too many believers are fading away from what they know is truth and beginning to become and live in a backsliding lifestyle. Someone asked me, how do you know if you're a backsliding? Number one, how much conversation are you having with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis? Number two, how much reading of His Word are you interested in, or is it just boring to you? You're spending time in Word. If you're not, number three, you're not in the church. You come every once in a blue moon. And number four is, there's nothing Christian that you even talk about, nothing godly that you talk about. I would tell you that you're, number one, if you're not, you're talking to the other people, you're living with other people, you're doing the other things, whatever you're doing, it is all away from God. Backsliding isn't usually in just one day. It's one day, after the next day, Sunday, after Sunday, after Sunday, after Sunday. But I will tell you this, you can go to church on every Sunday and be a backslider. If your heart is not right with Jesus Christ, you're not doing what He has called you to do. You have stepped away from His things. You don't do those. You know in your heart if you're backsliding. If you are not drawing to God, guess what? You are drawing away from God. So the simpler question is this today. Are you drawing closer to God or are you drawing further away from God? And for those of you that don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you don't have salvation, well, I pray today that the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart. That today is the day of salvation, that God chooses, not that you, but God is choosing you today to receive the awesome gift of salvation. There is nothing boring about serving Jesus. If you're bored, I would assume that you're probably not doing and you're not involved in the works of God. Because doing the works of God is just amazing. It is amazing, and it is totally, totally in His hands. Someone asked me, go ahead and stand for a moment if you would. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you're saved and you're trying to work things out, and you don't have that joy, you don't have that love, you're not feeling it, there's only one way to get it right. Draw to God. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're living your life and the world is there. The Lord will not always tarry with us. So if God's chosen you today to come to Him, then you need to come to Him. This is what my research says. If you work in an inner city church, salvation is easy, but discipleship is the hardest thing there is for inner city people. Because inner city people continue to keep they fix their eyes on their problems. But the Bible tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And inner city people begin to lose that because they fix their eyes upon money and all the other things that are going on in their life. And I will tell you, when you fix your eyes on Jesus, God will hold those problems that you have. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes for a moment. I know some today are not, their life is not where they need to be. There's a thing that we have, but we call rededicate. If you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not where it needs to be. There's a part where we kind of rededicate our life to Christ. We want to step back into that fold and be right with God. And you have that opportunity today. So whatever it is, if you want to step down here today, you can come down here and you can pray. You want me to pray with you? I'll pray with you. But I want to tell you today, the Holy Spirit is very strong today. And when the Holy Spirit is very strong, there is a strong resistance as well. Don't let Satan steal from you what God is ready to give to you. The crowd that day, he looked ahead in time, for when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I'm going to ask you, how many of you know what it feels like when God touches you? You can't even move sometimes. The amazing feeling of the Holy Spirit is just, he just wraps himself around you and you just can't even move, and it's an amazing feeling. And I'm not about emotions, but I will tell you there's just a feeling that God gives to us when his presence comes on us. But some of us haven't had that feeling in so long because we're not living the way God's called us to live. I will tell you this, God has more time than you and I do. We don't have as much time as we think we do. I'm getting a little bit older. How about you? I need to get wiser. How about you? But I need to get wiser in the things that will draw me and cause me to grow in my walk with Jesus.